Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 719, Interview with Real Life Spartan, recorded on February 9th, 2020. Hello everyone, welcome to a special interview here on Podtacular. I have the pleasure and honor of having with me a gentleman who has been streaming Halo on Twitch for some time now, a little over a year, but has kind of gotten a lot of steam lately. We were actually very fortunate to spotlight him during our first streamer spotlight Saturday on the blog over at podtacular.com, and we are happy to welcome Real Life Spartan. Welcome aboard.
Copy that. Welcome aboard indeed. It's a pleasure to be here, Spartan. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. You are definitely one of the more up-and-coming and I think more notable streamers on the Twitch platform. So it was very cool to see you kind of get some of the recognition. And the first week I actually started watching you, because I actually had heard of you as a streamer kind of back in the August timeframe, shortly after Outpost, but I didn't start really watching your streams until we decided to start doing the Streamer Saturday Showcase. And you got dumped $1,000 bit donation on Twitch. So you've been blowing up pretty recently. How's that feel?
Man, it's been nuts, man. I know you've popped into the stream a handful of times, Dustin, but when I go live every time, I just don't know what to expect, man. I think that's part of what makes it so fun and so exciting. It's just so unpredictable. And when I got that $1,000 bit bomb, I at first I thought it was just $100. And
yeah,
I shouldn't even say just $100, because like, dude, $100, like even a dollar, a couple pennies, man. Like, so I saw it and I was like, oh my God, like $100 bomb. We got $100 bomb. And I went crazy for like 10, 15 minutes. And I finally realized in the chat, thanks to my Spartan Army community, they said, dude, that wasn't $100, that was $1,000. I'm like, wait, what? Like, huh? Like, so yeah, that was really overwhelming for me. That stream in general, because later on into that stream, there was also somebody, another Spartan out there that donated over 200 subs. He gifted over 200 subs. So
whoa,
that, yeah, he dropped 100 subs, and I have Nate to thank for that. He came from Nate's stream on a raid, and just out of nowhere, 100 gifted subs, and the alerts just went. The sub alerts went for like an hour. I'm like,
oh my,
what
gosh
is happening right now? So that was just, that was amazing, man. It was overwhelming. Like I didn't really know how to like respond to like that level of hype and money just coming my way. It was a good opportunity for me also to kind of break the news that my wife and I are expecting our first child. Because up to that point, everything that was coming in was going directly into upgrading my stream. But we've got the stream going pretty solid now. So I'm like, look, man, like I gotta at least let these people know like this money is going to be put to good use. So
that's awesome.
That was a wild night, man. I had to lay down for like an hour or two afterwards and just take deep breaths. I was so amped up and just, yeah, I'm very thankful.
Oh, I bet. And congratulations on the kid.
Thank you, man.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's new for both of us, but we're pumped, man. We're hyped. Very excited to take that next journey and raise a little Spartan baby together. So
that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Coming up.
So we ask all of our guests two questions. One, people kind of already know why you're on here. So we usually ask, what do you do in the Halo community? And we obviously know you stream, but there might be other aspects to that. So we'll get to that. But first question that we ask everybody is, how did you get involved with Halo in the first place? So why don't you take that question first?
That's great, man. That's a great one. So, man, that takes me all the way back to my roots of Halo. So I have my brother to thank for me getting involved with Halo. He's a couple years older than I am, and we grew up gaming together, but then just kind of age-wise, we kind of drifted apart from one another. He was in high school, I was starting middle school, you know, he didn't want to be around the annoying little brother. So like we weren't gaming as much as we used to, you know, our lives got a little busy. But I remember, man, I walked into his room one day and he was playing Halo Combat Evolved. And at the time I had no idea what it was. And I was like, Charlie, what are you playing right now, man? Like, he was driving around in the Warthog, just massive open world. I'm like, I saw the Xbox. I was like, okay, it's on Xbox, but what is this?
Yep.
And then he's like, this is that game that Jacob was telling us about. His friend Jacob had been raving about Halo, saying it was as good, if not better, than GoldenEye 64. And I'm like, bro, no way. Like, no way.
Yeah, because at the time, that was kind of the pinnacle of what an FPS was GoldenEye. Yeah. And Halo kind of just dethroned that when it came out on the Xbox.
Yeah, man. GoldenEye was amazing, man. But yeah, like you said, man, Halo, I mean, so I wasn't like a believer until I sat down and we played co-op together on campaign. And then the multiplayer, I mean, we could go on about the multiplayer forever, but just yeah. the CTF Classic on Blood Gulch, you know, the LAN support, the XP Connect, all that stuff. Yes. So yeah, man, that's how I got into Halo. My brother, he picked it up. He bought an Xbox for it. I mean, that's why pretty much everybody bought an Xbox. So he bought the Xbox and Halo. That was, you know, that was the package deal. You had to have them both.
Right.
So yeah, man, I have him to thank for it, because I mean, I probably would have found out about it eventually, but man, it may have not been for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's interesting. It's always cool to hear everyone's origin story, because you either can relate to it or you kind of get another aspect of how people kind of came to know and love this franchise. And there's just so many different entry points.
Sure.
Given either just the timeline of Halo or going back to Halo CE and how many different avenues there were, whether it was the campaign or the multiplayer or the competitive scene, or heck, even PC with custom edition, or just playing Halo on PC when that was released.
Definitely, man. I think that's what makes it so great too. It's a lot. I mean, like Star Wars, you know, there's so much to it, man. So much to it. So yeah. I think that's what keeps bringing people like you and I back year year after year.
There is so much there that will continue to have us come back for more Halo, whether it's campaign, multiplayer, or things like the cosplayers, the concept artists, all the machinimators. There's so many different pieces of the Halo community, which is just, yeah, incredible.
Copy that.
Yeah. So the second question, and we kind of know you already do the streaming part, but what other things other than streaming do you do within the Halo community, if any?
Yeah. So that really takes me back quite a ways, because what I started out with originally with the Halo community as a whole is I wanted to go pick up. Original Xbox magazine.
XM?
Yeah. So I saw on the cover of one of those, I believe it was OXM, they had somebody wearing a suit of Master Chief armor. And I believe it was Nightmare Armor, or some studio. I think they were called Nightmare Armor. But anyway, I saw this guy on the cover wearing a suit of armor. I'm like, I want to be that guy. Like, I want to build a suit of armor, and I want to go pick up Halo at the midnight launch with my armor on. So that's kind of where like my excitement started to really peak in terms of trying to get involved more with the community. So this is my second suit I built, and I built this back in 2010. The first suit I built about a month before Halo 3 released. So,
ooh, prime time.
Prime time, baby. And I always joke the armor looks like it's out of an, you know, like an N64 game. Like it's so low quality, but I was so excited, man. So, so that's one thing that I've done over the years is I get every single midnight launch. Now we could go on and on about Infinite and how that launch is going to go, physical versus digital.
Yeah.
But That would take forever. I hope there's at least 10 people at my local GameStop if that's you know where I end up going, because I love the midnight launches, man. Just like being with the community.
Well, just not even for like getting the physical game anymore, but now it's just a matter of let's just celebrate the fact that this game is now out.
Yes, exactly. So that's always been a big thing for me, wearing the armor and going out for the midnight launches. And then over the years, I've helped with a couple local tournaments. There's a little place in downtown Cincinnati, not far from where I live, called 16-Bit Bar and Arcade. And they have like a retro, it's just like a retro arcade bar,
mm-hmm.
but they also have some Xbox consoles set up. So I've gone down there for a couple tournaments and worn the armor. So that's where I've been with like local community. Now, in terms of like more widespread, I actually started my YouTube channel around Halo back in 2007. Just, dude, I can't believe it's been that long, man.
Yeah,
hey, yeah. Like you were saying, you've been doing this for 12 years, brother. So big salute to your way.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I loved it, man. I have a lot of respect for YouTube content creators out there, man. A lot of time, a lot of effort goes into it. And for me, it was more so just a hobby that I would do in my free time, and I didn't really have a consistent schedule with it. So I would just upload random, you know, live action Halo skits or, you know, just some highlight gameplay when I could. But fast forward to now, I feel like with Twitch, I've really, really found my footing. Just being able to play Halo and at the same time interact with the community and still have that creative outlet where I can make these scenes and then be in them and kind of have my own little Halo universe. So,
yes, we are going to talk about those scenes.
Copy that.
Because that is one of the probably the thing that makes your stream the most unique, most uniquely yours, I think, is those scenes, in addition to the armor.
Sure, sure.
But you kind of to jump on something that you just mentioned with the armor, you said you've built your own armor, and this is your second build of it. So
construct it with my bare hands.
That's right. So how did that process go? How did you start? How did you figure out where you wanted to start with the armor? And then what method did you use?
Yeah, totally. I'm glad you asked that, man, because I wanted to give a quick shout out with that. The 405th, if you've, yeah. So
yep,
the 405th.
We've had several of 405thers on the show before, and some listeners might know of some of the methods that people have come
here
to talk about, like Papakura and the Vacufoam and that kind of stuff. But kind of curious what your take was on that. Like, and you mentioned the 405th. So what resource did you use from them? What method did you go with? Did you have help from some of the other cosplayers? So give us all the details.
Yeah, sure. So with both sets of armor, I used the Pepakira. And really, man, it was just a matter of researching the forums. I only had to post a couple questions personally, and it was kind of down to the final steps with like strapping, just figuring out how to get it strapped on my body and kind of, you know, properly distributing the weights. I was able to really find most of what I needed just from searching the forums or just tinkering around with the Pepakira software myself. Fortunately, man, I forget who it was now. I wish I could remember because I would you know, totally give them credit, but somebody had already scaled the chief, because for those that aren't aware, like the in-game models are scaled to the chief more often than not. So somebody had already scaled it down to their height, which was about the same height as mine. So I didn't have to do too much trial and error. There were a few pieces that with Pepakira, if you don't know, it's basically kind of like origami. Like you're taking a printed out two-dimensional shape, you're cutting it, you're doing mountain folds, valley folds, and you're gluing it together, and it's becoming its, you know, 3D form. And there were a few pieces, I'll never forget the chest piece in particular, Dustin. It was too big, and dude, that was rough, because you know, I didn't realize it till I was more than halfway through the thing, and it was the biggest piece of the build. So it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, the forums were fantastic. They were a great resource. I just did a lot of searching and a little bit of trial and error and just determination, man. Sheer willpower, bro.
I will echo that sentiment as far as what the 405th has as far as resources, all the different files and models that they have. It's a very good resource if you are if anyone listening is ever interested in cosplaying or wanting to learn more about the different methods or what it takes to cosplay, people's experiences cosplay, Pro5th is the place to go for Halo.
It really is, man. And I mean, I know what method I used is it's more so like an old school method at this point. But yeah, like you said, man, they have so many different resources on there. A lot of people do the foam route now, the 3D print route. I've even seen some that are combining the two together to allow for some more flexibility and some comfort where they do, I think, a lot of the under pieces in the EVA foam. And then some of the more detailed pieces that they do on the top will be 3D printed. So, yeah, man, it's cool. And I've seen they have like Fallout stuff on there, Star Wars stuff on there, like lots of different resources for multiple games, but primarily Halo, which, I mean, hey, man.
Yeah,
it's Halo. It's Halo. Enough said.
Right. Exactly. So you had mentioned that you and your wife are having a kid, which is really cool. But it also kind of sounds like that you get a lot of support from your wife actually doing the stream and really being invested in Halo. So I know I'm very thankful for my wife for supporting me through doing the podcast and putting up with me for going to Halo Outpost at all five locations last year.
All five. I got five sleeves coming your way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you.
Bad props, man. That's amazing.
But what is that like? Is she into Halo? Is she just kind of supporting your endeavor, or is she actually interested in what you're interested in?
Yeah, man. So I would say more so she's just supporting me. Honestly, bro, I should probably try to twist her arm and play a little co-op with her. And I think she would enjoy it. I'm a little guilty here. I haven't really taken the opportunity to try to step back and be like, hey, look, we're going to do co-op tonight on the 60 inch and we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
She grew up playing, she played The Sims and Kingdom Hearts a little bit. So, I mean, she's no stranger to video games.
My wife, exactly. Kingdom Hearts was her game on PlayStation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, I mean, she's no stranger to gaming, but I don't know that she has like that same desire that she had when she was younger.
Yeah.
But definitely something to try, man. Definitely something to try and check out. But she's been amazing, man. I mean, one of the many reasons I married her is one of our first dates. She I had the suit of armor in my closet and I left the door open. I left the door open and she saw the suit of armor and she's like, "What is that?" She saw the chief helmet and she's like, "Are you into motocross?" I'm like, a part of me wanted to be like, yeah, I do motocross. But I was like, you know what? Like, this relationship is either going to work or it's not going to work. Like, this is who I am. And yeah. I'm just going to roll with it and be like, no, you know, I built a suit of paper armor to defend humanity from the Covenant. So do you like me or no? But no, man, she was totally cool about it.
That's cool.
And she's got the same kind of like, you know, she did stuff growing up too in high school where they did like a news show and you know, so she enjoys that kind of stuff. But I'm so thankful that she's supportive, man, because I mean, when I'm down here, you know, you've seen the streams, Dustin, I get loud, I get energetic. So the fact that she lets me do that and just be goofy and be me is it's amazing, man. It's great. Yeah, great feeling.
That's really cool. Yeah,
sure.
I would definitely say if you have the time to do the co-op, because I've actually been able to do that with my wife and we've gone through the first one.
Nice.
We started the second one and Outpost came around, so we had to put a pause on it. We haven't really picked it up yet again.
I still can't believe you did all five Outposts. That's amazing, bro.
Yeah, it was five Outposts, 24 panels, and a whole bunch of other things, but yeah.
Not to jump in or anything, but do you get some kind of special medal for that? I feel like you need to get something.
Appreciation, I guess. If that counts for anything.
That's good though. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, it's a passion of mine, so I'm happy to do it. Yeah. So let's talk about the stream itself, since that's kind of what people know you about. So you have the real life Spartan persona, you have all the scenes.
Sure.
What was the foundation of coming up with everything that the stream has? I mean, you have the megaphone that has a siren on it. You have, well, I've,
oh, yeah. I've kind copy of that.
Yep, here it comes.
We gotta fight it. We gotta sound the alarms.
Sub alert.
It's an honor to be on your show, though, Spartan. Spectacular.
It's an honor to have you on. What was the foundation? What was some of the original concepts of coming up with your format currently, or did it not start that way and it kind of gradually grew into this? Like, where did you start from came to where it is today?
Yeah, man, you got the great questions. So I'll tell you what, man. And if I start rambling too long,
please do. That's what I'm hoping for here.
copy. So I'm new to Twitch. You know, I knew what Twitch was, but years ago, and this was around when Halo 5 released, I tried to stream on YouTube. And at the time I had a MacBook Pro. It was an older 2013 MacBook Pro. And I got it all hooked up, and I just immediately ran into frame rate issues and desync, like the audio and the video is desyncing. It just wasn't working out. So I was like, well, I guess, you know, streaming isn't in the cards for me. had I actually put a little bit of time into watching streamers on Twitch, I would have realized how much more there is to streaming now. I knew you could have a webcam, and I knew you could have music play, and you could have, you know, the little overlays, but I didn't realize you could take it to the level that Dr. Disrespect was taking it to.
Yeah.
And I'd be lying if I said, like, he did not influence the thought process with me and my scenes.
That's cool.
When I saw his stream about probably about 2 years ago, I was like, you can do this kind of stuff? Like, that's amazing. And for me, it was such a natural transition, because on my YouTube channel, I had been taking on this persona since I started cranking out videos in 07 and throwing out live action skit videos from time to time. Mm-hmm. And just being over the top. And this is like when I hang out with my buddies in real life, like we go out in public and we talk like that. We call each other Spartans, and we have Spartan t-shirts and stuff. So like, that was an easy transition for me. But I definitely have to give, you know, Dr. Disrespect the credit, because I didn't realize he could do that with the scenes. So for me, when I saw that was possible, I decided, okay, I'm gonna research streaming a little bit more. I still had the 2013 MacBook Pro. I was like, maybe if I, you know, get a 480p webcam instead of trying to do an HD webcam, I can get it to work on my system. I got it to work well enough. It was still like borderline a disaster, but the streams were running. They were running long enough where I was getting some followers, and I was getting some amazing people from the community in the chat that were saying they loved what I was doing. And then the big piece where the Pelican really started to just shoot into the stratosphere was when Nated followed me and then threw me a fat raid about a week later. That's when I went out the next day looking for a PC. I said, all right, like, we got like, if I got a Halo Pro, one of the biggest names in the franchise from a pro point of view raiding me. And then I went back and watched his rebroadcast, and he's just a really positive dude, really supportive guy to the community. But he was raving about me, and I'm thinking, man, he's raving about me, and like, my scenes don't look great. Like, I'm using an old, outdated computer, like, that can barely hold 30 frames a second. Like, I got to step up my game here. So that's when I went all in, man. That's when I went. I researched. I got a decent PC, and that's kind of where the foundation started at that point. Once we had a PC that was kind of the heart of the operation, and I didn't have to worry about my stream unexpectedly ending or the frames just dropping, I was like, we're all in now. So now it's time to start cranking out scene after scene when we have the time to do so, and just continuing to bring this Halo world into the stream universe. So
that's cool.
That's kind of where the foundation started, man. But like I said, man, I was doing this stuff on YouTube for years and years and years. So it's felt natural to me. But yeah, got to give a shout out. Definitely give a shout out to Dr. Disrespect, because like I said, man, I hadn't been on Twitch until about 2 years ago. I missed out on a lot. I wish I would have been on it years ago. But anyway, man.
Hey, you're picking up the stride. You've got the best of the Twitch world right now.
Man, it's been...
With everything. Yeah, you've got a lot of stuff coming your way, and it's really cool to see.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. How many scenes do you have? Because I know you have your main stream where you have the webcam and then what you're actually playing. And then counted so far, there is a Pelican one on Valhalla. There is a Hornet one on Sandtrap. There is the Top of Lockout. And there's a couple other ones that I know I'm missing.
Sure. So I just tried to pull the Hornet scene up because you had mentioned it. Mm-hmm. So if your viewers happen to see a video feed later, they'll get to see a beautiful view of a sectional floating on the side of the Hornet wing because the green screen's currently not hanging right now. But we do have quite a few scenes. Honestly, if I had to guess, that's impressive, by the way. You noticed the Pelican scene. That's one of my new ones. If I had to guess, Dustin, I would say anywhere between 40 to 50 scenes.
Whoa.
Yeah, we got a lot, man. We got a lot.
Dang. And are those all like just setups that you have like in your streaming, I guess, room or something like that? Or
Yeah. So how my stream setup works is I have a green screen directly behind me. Mm-hmm. So for this scene, for example, right now I have my command center background. If the viewers see, so this is using my cam that is directly in front of me on my monitor, and then my green screen is hanging from my ceiling behind me that I can just pull down. And then for a lot of the scenes, like you mentioned, the Hornet scene, I have a second green screen that hangs on the other side of my UNSC Stream Command Center, aka basement. And
nice.
When that's hung up, that allows me to get up out of my DX Racer and walk over and interact with the community standing up and kind of, you know, running around and getting crazy. So
that's cool.
It was quite the setup, man. Quite the setup. I know you would ask about like the foundation and whatnot. And we started on the other side of the basement where my wife and I used to watch TV shows and movies. Mm-hmm. And it was when I was still kind of just testing the waters to see if streaming was something that I wanted to continue to go on with. And so, long story short, I was gaming on the 60-inch, which I know some people enjoy, you know, playing on a big display. But I had my PC in the corner, just crammed with a monitor arm sticking out the side of the TV stand, mm-hmm. with a small monitor. It was a very bizarre setup. And I had to put the green screens up every single time. I had to drag the lights around every single time. So we've relocated everything, and it's running phenomenally now. The setup is pretty seamless, pretty smooth to get up and running, aside from strapping the armor on. So
sure. That's cool. No, that's 40 to 50. That's a lot.
It is a lot, man. It is a lot. The great thing is there's so many great, I mean, the environments in Halo, there's so many great, a lot of the environments work out perfectly, man. You just capture that environment, throw it up as a background, and then.
They really do. I think one of the newest ones I've seen is The Pit.
Yeah, sure. It
might not be new to you, but like one of the more recent ones that I've seen that I haven't seen before.
I love that scene.
You actually have people fighting down on the bottom, so it's really cool.
The training grounds, man.
Yep.
Yeah, for dude, I just realized you got a Master Chief hanging off your mic arm. That's awesome, by the way.
I do.
Beautiful.
Yeah. People can tune into live streams to see that, but yeah.
Oh yeah. Definitely, man.
I've got quite a few little knickknacks on my mic stand.
That's awesome.
Master Chief, yeah. And Cortana chip right there.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. I've also got Stargate and a Millennium Falcon and then a Portal Cube.
Okay, now I'm really impressed. That's
there's
amazing.
There's a little diversity to my nerddom, but it's mostly Halo.
Nice. But yeah, the Pit scene you mentioned, man, for 2020, I definitely want to I want to keep adding new scenes in, but I want to try, like with that Pit scene, you see how I walk out from the top treehouse area. Mm-hmm. And I want to try to just add some more scenes that have a little more depth to them that I can have some fun with. So Yeah, I'm always thinking, man. Cortana's always spinning ideas in my head, so you just never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, and that's really cool to see, because that's one of the, I think, more, and I kind of mentioned this before, but it's one of the things that really makes your stream unique. And there's other streamers out there that have kind of different webcam setups, or they have a virtual background, but the fact that you take Halo environments as they are in multiplayer, or I don't know if you even have like campaign related ones, but being able to incorporate that into your gameplay, since you're pretty much all Halo, it adds another level of interaction. And another thing, I'm not sure if this is something that people more appreciate or not, but I'm assuming it definitely does a great deal of service for you as a streamer, is if something happens, like if there's a sub or if there's a bit drop, you will stop playing and you will engage with your audience.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that really attributes to kind of your flair and your appeal as a streamer.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like you said, man, I think people either love it or hate it. My thought process with that is a couple things, man. I know I'm not the best Halo player out there. So I don't think people are coming necessarily to watch me win every single game. There's plenty of streamers out there that are doing a great job at that already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I consider myself competitive, but you know, not the best.
Sure.
But you know, in terms of just stopping in, you know, the middle of a game or sounding the alarms, it all just boils back to my appreciation for my community. And just even if you're following my channel or just popping in and viewing my channel and aren't necessarily even following it, just the fact that you are taking a couple minutes out of your day just to come hang in my channel, hang in my stream, that really does mean the world to me. When I first started streaming, I was putting like every new follower I would get, which I'd get like a new follower like every other day, and I would get like the little Twitch email notification. I'd get so excited, and I would manually type their name in on one of my scenes where I had like a Spartan workout scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little TV monitor that's suspended in that scene, and I would type every single new follower's name on there, and it would like roll their name as I would be in the workout room with my shake weight. And dude, you got to pulse it at 117%, man.
117%.
Yeah,
I got it laying around here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Cortana had to clean it up a little bit for me, but it's back.
There you go. You're working out too much.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but no, man, I seriously do appreciate everybody so much. I mean, the people that are listening to your podcast right now and have made it this far with me talking and giving my story. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, people are wanting to hear more about it. I mean, we only get so much from a stream perspective, so it's nice to kind of get you out of the element and actually talk about you as a person.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So outside of Halo, and this actually is a question that we also, because we ask people for questions, I will ask how this question was phrased, and then I'll kind of say how I would normally say it. From the Halo Respawn folks. When you're not mowing down grunts and teabagging fallen Spartans in multiplayer, what does the real life Spartan do for fun? Like hobbies? I'll kind of add on to that and say, like, outside of Halo, is there anything else that you do? Do you have a job? Do you have other hobbies? So outside of just the stream, what do you do?
Yeah, that's great, man. So, outside of the stream, in terms of hobbies go, actually, you did one of my favorite hobbies not that long ago. Because if I am not mistaken, I was reading the DM to me and you had just finished a run, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's awesome, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, that's great. Seriously.
Try to stay in shape, and there's some weight I'm trying to lose, so...
No, that's huge, man. Like, running is one of my hobbies that I'm extremely passionate about. And I didn't pick up running until my early 20s. And it's been just so good, just like mentally and physically. It just kind of helps, you know, at the end of the day, kind of bring my overshields back into a, optimal area.
Mm-hmm.
where the stress levels aren't going through the roof. So running and some light lifting, that's a big hobby of mine. And then I grew up actually doing quite a few different like random extreme sports.
Okay.
From skateboarding to water sports like wakeboarding and wake surfing. So yeah, kind of all over the place with the extreme sports. I still skateboard from time to time. Probably get on the board about once a month. Not like I used to, but yeah, man, that used to be a big part of my life. And a lot of the people that I grew up with are still skateboarders and do so on a regular basis, man. So it's really cool to see them still, you know, in their early 30s, mid 30s, pushing 40 now. Some of them like still out there throwing their bodies down sets of stairs and getting crazy. But
hopefully
yeah,
getting away scathe free or scratch free.
Yeah.
Falling downstairs can be pretty painful.
Dude, no joke. But then actually, you know, shifting gears completely from skateboarding and running,
mm-hmm.
I've always been into aquariums. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know, man, for better or worse, they can be a headache. They are very finicky, especially when you get into corals and saltwater. I've had tanks pretty much my whole life. So my wife and I have a 65-gallon saltwater tank set up actually in our basement, and we got it framed into the wall, and it's cool, man. It's
that's cool.
Definitely a little bit of maintenance, and I scratch my head from time to time when I get algae outbreaks or the corals start looking sick or shrinking on me. I'm like, man, like, what's going on here? So yeah. I don't know. It's time consuming. If you're listening, I think twice before you go into it, or just try fish only for a while. But it's a rewarding experience, man. It's neat to kind of see the tank thrive and grow. And it's just something I kind of haven't let go of yet over the years. So
that's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of fish do you have in your tank?
Yeah, so right now, it's a 65-gallon tank, and I only have 3 fish, believe it or not. We were actually at a fish store earlier today looking at some. But I have 2 clownfish. So I got a pair of clownfish in there. They're buddies. They swim around together. And then I have, it's called a Royal Grama, I believe is what they're called. It's just like a purple, it's like kind of like a cigar shaped fish, only much smaller. And it's a purple gold bodied fish. I think it was actually in the first Finding Nemo movie. It was one of the, it wasn't like Dory or like one of the popular fish in the movie, but it was one of the fish that was just kind of like chilling in the background.
Yeah. No, I Googled it quickly, and yeah, I can, you got it, Royal Grama.
Nice. Yeah. That's but cool. Years ago, I had a larger aquarium, and I had a huge puffer fish. And when I downsized the local aquarium, the Newport Aquarium, actually, I reached out to them because I didn't want to take, this fish was like a foot and a half big now. And I'm like, man, I don't want to take this fish back to the pet store, run their chance of, you know, somebody picking them up and putting them in a tank that's way too small. Like, I don't know. I was too attached to the fish. Puffer fish, and I won't ramble about this too much, man. But
you're fine.
They have like the personality of a dog. Like there's such a personality. Like if you like search YouTube videos of puffer fish and stuff, like if they see you, like they swim up to the glass, like they want to be fed, obviously, but like they're cool. They're very, very personable fish. So yeah, he was a big boy. And when I was downsizing and moving, I wanted to find a good home for him. So I reached out to the local aquarium, and they took him in, and they put him in a 1,500 plus gallon, like tube-shaped tank that you walked through. I'm like, dude, this is like the best possible scenario for this outcome. Like, have a good life, Puffer Huey. Like, I love you, but you get to live in a tunnel now. So
that's cool.
Definitely.
So, are there any other specific kind of fish that you would like to get in your tank, or is it just something that you're just kind of getting a feel for? Because it sounds like I guess you're a lot more into the coral stuff right now. If you don't have as many fish,
So I definitely kind of took an interest in the corals, and the tank has been up and running for about this tank in particular for about 5 years. So, it's definitely on the light side of fish. I was looking today for something that's going to kind of nip and knock out some of the algae problems I've been having. So I've been looking at tangs a little bit. The guy recommended even like, I think it's called a fox face. fox face. Like it's like from like the rabbit fish species. I think they're called like a yellow fox face.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, those are on my radar. I would love to get another puffer fish, but those can be a gamble with corals. Some of the puffer fish like to nip the corals. So I don't know, man. I would hate to get a puffer fish because then I would get attached. And then like if it starts eating my corals and I'm like, man, I got to take you back to the store. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'd be bummed out about that. They have some species out there that don't get that big because it's a 65-gallon tank. So it's decent size, but I don't want to put something in there that's going to. Yeah. I don't want to put something in there that's going to get crazy big and feel like it's trapped. Right. I got a soft spot for fish. I'm all about taking care of the fish.
That's cool.
And if I can get tank raised fish, I'll get tank raised fish.
That's really cool. I don't think we've ever heard a guest that has that kind of a hobby. So that's
gotcha, man. That's copy really that.
Cool. No, I think people would be really interested in hearing about that because I mean, most of your people, your common goer, if they're in the halo, they're like either IT or
something
along kind of like gaming related or kind of in their Halo hobby specifically. But the fact that like you love fish and are really interested in that and invested in that, it's kind of like, okay, there's some dynamic to what you do and what you're interested in. So that's really cool. And I think people really get something out of that.
Definitely, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. If anybody wants to check out on my YouTube channel that I, as I mentioned, don't have much consistency to, but one of my last videos that I uploaded on there, it's like a start to finish in-wall aquarium build. I just have start to finish where we're cutting a hole. My dad and I are cutting a hole in the wall and framing the tank into the wall. So yeah, it's definitely a rewarding experience when it finally all kind of comes together.
That's cool. Yeah. I might have to check that out afterwards. That sounds really interesting. What in particular, let's shift gears a little bit. What in particular has really kind of fed your coming back to Halo? We talked a little bit about how you got involved, but what is it about Halo that keeps you coming back to it day after day?
That's a great question, man. You got everything you got here. I love.
When I've been doing this for 12 years, I got all those interview questions down.
Veteran of the craft. Man, what keeps me coming back? I'm stubborn. That's what keeps me coming back.
Amen.
I'm stubborn in my ways, man. Like I'm comfortable with Halo and I enjoy Halo. And you know, it just for me, every title has offered something new. That's what brings me back, man. The community brings me back. The depth. Like I know you had mentioned earlier about like Machinima and like just there's so much that comes from Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we go all the way back to Halo 2, where I think it really started to peak, you had multiplayer with ranked and social matchmaking options. You had clan matchmaking options. You had a explosive campaign with co-op. And then Xbox Live, which was right out of the gates. And just in my opinion, it was integrated and worked and functioned better within the Halo 2 UI than it did actually from like the Xbox dashboard or any other game you tried to play on Xbox at the time. So that's what brings me back with Halo. I just feel like Halo's always a step ahead, man. They've been a step ahead on a lot of things that they've done from, you know, the feeder mode to the forge mode. And I'm just stubborn. I like it. I'm decent at it. You know, I like feeling like the hero, man, you know, feeling like the chief.
Yeah.
Plus we got to Dustin, we got to protect humanity.
That's true.
That is what is at stake here, because we don't know when the Forerunners or the Flood, the Covenant, any of these outside threats may come and strike Earth at any moment's notice. And we are mentally prepared because of our extensive training on the virtual battlefield.
Exactly. Who knows what Cortana's doing out there right now?
I know. We can only hope. We can only hope that she's coming back to terms.
Let's hope so for all of our sakes. Speaking of kind of like the future of Halo, what's something that really is exciting for you kind of going into Infinite, or what are you looking forward to possibility wise for Halo's future?
Man, this is such I feel like this is a really unique time for us, because from a launch cycle point of view, it's been so darn long since we've seen a Halo title. So there, for me, there's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of mystery this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, if I remember your question correctly, what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, Infinite. Just like what makes you like hopeful for the future? What things are you looking forward to that might be coming in Infinite or like just your future thoughts of Halo as a franchise?
Sure. Yeah. So that's the big one for me, man. It's been so many years. We haven't had a Halo release on that regular cycle. So there's some mystery with Halo Infinite, and I like that there's some mystery.
Mm-hmm.
A part of me almost wants to just kind of step back from E3 and not even see, you know, because, you know, I'm guessing they're going to have a gameplay reveal at E3 and we'll finally
bound to have something.
Yeah. And we'll finally see Sprint or no Sprint and actually start to get into, you know, kind of the nitty gritty and the mechanics piece. But for me, man, what I'm excited about is I'm putting all my faith into 343 with this one, because they've had a lot of time to work on it. I'm hopeful that they've been receptive and listening to the community feedback to try to find a medium to make everybody happy. I know that's not easy to do, man. It's not easy to do. But I'm hoping they're trying to strike that medium, and I could go on and on about this. But I mean, it could even be a matter of the competitive ranked matchmaking having certain mechanics that maybe the social playlists do not offer, like Sprint, for example, Sprint versus no Sprint. I know that's a huge mm-hmm. debate, but then when you get into that, then you have map design that comes into play. So are you going to have like two separate teams, one team designing maps for the competitive side that are, you know, not necessarily as large, and then for the social playlist have another set of team members making maps that are, you know, going to accommodate sprinting and thrusting mm-hmm. and clamber. I mean, I don't know, man. It's a big beast. It's a big beast to take on.
It definitely is.
I'm just excited about the mystery of it. The trailer for me, it was a nod back to the classic titles, and kind of that unexplored world where you don't know what lurks around every large corner out on that endless landscape. So I'm hoping we get some open world, man. Just some more kind of CE vibes with the campaign and some explorative worlds and maybe some never before seen enemies. But I want it to just be Halo at its core, man. Just be Halo at the core. Yep. Don't try to be too much. Halo's already a perfect franchise. Just take a little bit from the classic titles, sprinkle a little bit in from the new titles. Just make everybody happy.
Yeah.
I just want a Halo game. At the end of the day, man, I just want a Halo game.
Right? Right? The fact that we're still got Halo is exciting.
Yeah. And I've played them all, man. I've enjoyed them all. You know, some more so than others, but I'm excited for just the mystery and hopefully lots to explore. Lots to explore. Yeah.
And I know there's been quite a little bit of discussion within the community of like, oh, we haven't seen anything yet. Is that a bad thing or is that a good thing? And at this point, it's like, I'm kind of with you. It's like, I'm taking the chance to kind of just sit back and breathe and like really bathe in that mystery of what's going to happen. Like, yeah, we haven't heard anything, but are they keeping it close hold because it is going to be good and it's going to be something that we're not expecting? And like, I'm kind of thinking back to how hush hush Halo 2 and Halo 3 were as far as their announcements. I guess a little bit more Halo 2 because there was a lot of secrecy behind then. And then Halo 2 was announced as like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm okay if we don't hear something until E3 because I want that kind of feeling again. I want to have that excitement for Halo again. It's like, okay, we've got the announcement from 2 years ago, E3. And then last year we had the opening cutscene. It's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to let all that emotion be revealed at once instead of like being trickled out because of news releases and all that stuff. And then half of your story is already spoiled because you already know a little bit of what's going on before you even start. So I'm kind of appreciating that, I think, right now. And then it's like, oh, this is kind of a refreshing feeling as a Halo fan.
Yeah. No, you nailed it, man. I agree 117%. I love how they're keeping the cards close. And like you said about like that big surprise. Do you remember the this is probably one of my favorite trailers. It may be my favorite trailer for Halo, but the I think it was the Monday night football Halo 3 trailer. I think they aired it. It was either aired at Monday Night Football or the Super Bowl, but it's with the Chief. I think it's the Believe trailer where he throws the bubble shield down. It starts
Starry
out like
Night.
The Starry Night. Trailer. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. I think that was revealed at Monday Night Football.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Dude, like, because I hadn't seen a lot on Halo 3 yet. And then, you know, I ran downstairs to watch it on the big tube TV with my parents instead of on my 13-inch tube TV up in my bedroom with the, you know, the built-in VCR combo. No big deal.
Back in our days, TVs came in tubes, not flat screens.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, that gave me the goosebumps, man. So for me, I hadn't seen a whole lot on Halo 3 yet. And then they just busted that out. And I think Frank O'Connor had teased about the X button in one of the Bungie weekly updates at the time. And he said, the X button will forever change the way you play Halo. And I'm like, ooh, what does he mean by this? What is the X button on my controller going to do? Mm-hmm. And then I think they had that Starry Night trailer. And then I was like, the Chief's got this big old force field thing now.
Yeah.
Is that what the X button does?
Sure enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we've almost hit an hour, so we're going to enter the lightning round real quick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So get on your toes, Spartan.
Yeah. I'm getting myself ready with my shake weight as we speak.
All right. Favorite Halo campaign?
Combat Evolved.
Favorite Halo multiplayer?
Halo 2.
Favorite Halo character?
Master Chief.
Of course.
So I'm sorry I'm being so lame on that one, man. I'm sure that's like 99% of the responses, but
hey, maybe not. Maybe not. He's my favorite. Have you read the books?
I have only read The Fall of Reach. I have like four other books. I've only read The Fall of Reach. I need to get better about that. I need to get better at playing co-op with my wife.
All in due time. Favorite Halo weapon or vehicle?
I would say the Halo 2 battle rifle.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Cortana, I just about knocked it over, but we do have it. We do have it right here, Spartan.
Very nice.
Four shot.
Boom, boom, boom. Favorite food?
Oh, dude, that's a good one. Oh, gosh. Man, I got to get this. This is the lightning round. Tacos. I love tacos. Oh, pizza's close second, and Lucky Charms is third.
So what I'm hearing is we need some kind of taco skin to go along with the pizza skin in Halo.
Yes, that would be perfect. I liked that pepperoni pizza skin.
Yeah, a lot of people did. Favorite movie?
Oh, man. Depends on the day. Toy Story is amazing. I'd say Toy Story.
Okay.
And that maybe isn't what you would expect from a real-life Spartan, but dang, man. That movie, it just brings out the emotions.
It's going to work nice for you when you get the kid coming along, so there you go.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Favorite music genre?
Alternative. Yeah. I kind of grew up like with being like, you know, in the skater scene. I know not necessarily every skateboarder out there listening to like alternative or punk, you know, but that's kind of what I grew up listening to. So,
all right.
Kind of just stuck with it over the years.
Cool. Favorite academic subject?
Writing.
Really?
Yeah, even though I don't like reading. I know, isn't that's
I mean,
bizarre.
I guess that goes along with you doing the skits.
Yeah, I just feel like that's a good way. Like I like subjects that allow you to kind of express your creativity and you know be you and do what you're passionate about. And I feel like I feel like writing can be a huge outlet to a lot of different things. So
yeah,
with some of my skits, even like I'll not necessarily like whip up scripts, but I'll kind of just jot down some random notes for some lines that maybe would work well with like a certain scene, like the sword based scene I have. Like there's a monitor on the wall in the background and it says sector compromised or something along those lines. So like I'll jot down little notes. All right, this sector's compromised. We need to check sector 2.9 now, and we need to make sure that the AO is clear. I don't know. Anyway, I'm gonna shut up about this. This is the lightning round.
favorite sport? To watch and or play.
So I grew my BR Cortana stabilized this battle rifle so it doesn't fall over. I grew up playing baseball. So I gotta say baseball.
All right.
I grew up playing baseball. I'd be lying if I said I don't watch baseball that much, but grew up playing ball, so gotta support the baseball.
Cool. Most influential person in your life or on your life?
Man, my parents.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, no joke. They've been such like a positive influence on me. I know a lot of, like, sometimes in my streams, people will be like, man, you're so positive. Like, you're so upbeat. I just feel like I've been very fortunate in that regard. And they've been by my side every step of the way. Even when I have these silly ideas with streaming, and, you know, before streaming, it was almost getting on one of the biggest reality shows on American network TV. So, I mean, they've just been on my team all the way, man. So they've been a huge influence on me, because they've believed in me all my life. So
cool.
That's yeah.
Last thing, favorite thing about the Halo universe or franchise?
Just how deep it is, man. Yeah, just how deep it is. I would say for me personally, my favorite thing is the multiplayer. That's what brings me back day after day. You can either engage and meet more people in the community through the multiplayer, mm-hmm. Or you can just continue to try to better yourself from a skill point of view, and look to try to squad up with another 3 Spartans or 7 Spartans if you're going in BTB. So for me, the biggest thing would be multiplayer.
Very nice. It's a good place to end it. So thank you for taking time out of your day to come on over and tell us a little bit more about who you are as a streamer and as a person. Where can people find you?
Great question. I am on Twitch at Real Life Spartan. I am on YouTube at Real Life Spartan. Twitter, Instagram, the Discord. I'm new to Discord, Dustin. So if you guys out there listening want to find my Discord, it's in the info on my Twitch page. But yeah, primarily I am on Twitch, and I try to sprinkle some highlight videos and intel updates on my Twitter as well. But Real Life Spartan.
Very nice. Anything else you'd like to say to listeners before we sign off for this interview?
Thank you. I just want to thank you, Dustin. I want to thank the listeners. This has been an incredible ride for all of us. It's hard to believe that it's almost been 2 decades now of Halo. It's flying, man. It's flying. And it's an exciting time for us, man. Keep your overshields up out there, Spartans, and keep hope alive, man. I think we're all in for some exciting things here in the next year. And hopefully, even more so, aside from Infinite, we get some quality entertainment cranking out, whether it be this upcoming Showtime series or just a movie series at some point, which, if done correctly, man, there's plenty of content, plenty they could do with it. So thank you for tuning in and listening to me.
Awesome, man. That we are very excited to see what's happening over on your channel. We are very excited for you and what you've been able to accomplish, and we're looking forward to seeing how the community supports you throughout the rest of the year and when Infinite comes out.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's been an absolutely amazing ride, man. Just like I said earlier in the podcast tonight, man, every time I go live, I'm just blown away. You know, it could be 1 viewer, it could be 10 viewers. Like, it's all the same to me, man, because I love just interacting with the Halo community, and I love playing Halo. So it's a win-win, my man. So yeah, I can't wait to see where it goes either, man. I'm excited to see your podcast continue to rock. And this is cool, man. This is the first time I've done a podcast. So thank you for, you know, not only considering me, but also inviting me on. And before I forget, that little tidbit you did on me, that article at the start of 2020, man, I was eating some Lucky Charms and I saw that notification on Twitter. I'm like, hey, babe, look at this. Like, somebody wrote an article about me. This is really cool. So
yeah,
thank you, man. Yeah, I appreciate the time and the effort and everything you're doing for the community, man. There's a lot of people out there putting in a lot of hours because they're just passionate about the series, and it's a really special thing that we have. So
thank you again. And you're one of those people. So thank you for everything that you've done to entertain us, and I look forward to seeing what you can do, what you can add, what new scenes you might come up with over the next year. So
yeah, the pressure's on, man. We got to keep raising the bar, Dustin.
That's right. Keep pushing that 117%, Spartan.
Copy that.
There you go. All right, thanks for listening to this interview, folks. Make sure you tune into next week, where we're going to have the folks from Project Rebirth on the show to talk to them about what their project is about. And they'll be returning to our regularly scheduled show. So if you want to give us input or feedback or any questions for our upcoming guests, then definitely hit us up on social media or hit us up on our Discord. We're also adding two topics to briefly talk about as well, including the new concept art that came out for Halo 5 recently and a little discussion on dual wielding. So again, hit us up on social media, hit us up on the Discord. And until then, keep on fragging them trucks.